Friday. Here we are, friends to the ends on Saturday at 8:30. And I just want to welcome the band Table Fox to my show tonight. It's so cool to have you guys here. Clint, Matt, Chris and Ari. Olivia, not here. Where is she?
Bali.
Bali, I think.
Yeah, she had a bit of jelly belly, I hear. Or,
yeah, she's been a bit sick over there. I think she's come right now, so
yeah,
that's good.
She's enjoying the sights of Bali.
Oh, very good.
Right now, she's crawled out of bed.
So, it's all right. So, why don't we go through some introductions first. Clint, tell us a bit about your good self. You're the lead singer, the front man.
I am.
Good-looking fella.
Cheers, thanks. Thanks very much. Yeah, so I sing. By default, I'm actually a drummer, but I'm not as good as Ari. So,
come on.
So yeah, so I've been singing for Table Fox for a few years now, and
cool, Chris.
Yeah, I'm Chris. I'm the guitar player, so I play rhythm guitar in the band, and I've been in Table Fox for the last 6 years.
Great, Ari.
Yeah. I'm Ari. I've been at Table Fox. I'm a drummer. So I've been Table Fox for a couple of years, I think, at the moment. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm. And of course, Matt. That's, we've been doing a bit of chatting and catching up
And
connecting, and finally you're here. So you're one of the guitarists?
Yep, I'm one of the guitarists, and I actually started the band with Clint some years ago.
How many years ago? That's what I was going to ask you. When did you kick it off?
So Clint and I were actually in a band called the Mayfairs together, and Clint was playing drums in that band. Mm-hmm. That was actually a really great band.
Three pieces.
It was very cool. Yeah. And when that came to its natural conclusion for various reasons,
long story.
Okay.
We got together for a beer and said, "Look, what are we going to do?" Had a few pints and kind of decided to kick something off.
Over a few beers, I said, "Well, why don't I try singing?"
And
Matt was like, "Well, I actually like you on the drums." So it took a few pints, didn't it, for you to come around to that, and a few more pub drinks before you finally said, "Okay, I'll give you a go."
Yeah, well, yeah. We had tried to find a way forward, and it kind of worked. Mm-hmm. And the first jam we had was like in the fourth story of this building that we had to carry everything up, and with this mad guy with a bottle of wine and a cigarette in one hand. And
He was living in a squash court.
Was he?
Yeah.
So we were practicing in where he was living, which is in kind of the attic of a squash court.
Yeah. Sounds a little creepy. Just saying.
It was actually a great night. It was just kind of, it's really great vibe in the end, because it was our first jam for quite a while. And
wasn't our first beer, so that's possibly why it was a great vibe.
It probably helped. It probably helped a lot then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So that was quite a while ago, and then the band's kind of got to where it is today, a five-piece, and
We started recording some tracks, and lots of guitars started happening, and we realised we needed something to make that happen live.
Great.
And brought in the extra guys to pull that off, and got the extra flavour of Chris, who's a great guitarist in his own right, and kind of brought this new dynamic to the band, which made us, I think, a lot more of a punchy, kind of tight band as well, so that was good.
Yeah. Great. All right, well, why don't we, for our listeners, give them a bit of a taste if they haven't heard, and they will have heard by now, Table Fox. We're going to play Objects off their first album, Objects.
Bro.
right, that was Objects, Table Fox, track one, side one of their first album. And I was talking to the band before, I picked this one because it sounded, got that 80s kind of sound, but more into Polish and a little bit of Peter Garrett vocals going on. Did I, was I close to that one, guys? Did I call it all right?
Yeah, I think with the Interpol vibe, yeah, definitely. I was going, you know, with the riff, I like the simple, big kind of riffs that we were putting out at the time, and yeah, just wanted kind of a straight ahead kind of song.
There's no nonsense.
No nonsense.
There's
exactly.
No fluff.
Yeah,
it's just a full rock on track.
Yeah, yeah. Really enjoyed the way it came out.
So who kind of created the recording process for the first album? What year was that came out?
2015.
Right. Yeah. So what were the? How did you evolve the album, and what were your kind of influences to it?
So that was probably the first kind of dynamic that we had after the extra members came in with Chris and Owen, the drummer at the time. And we'd written a bunch of new songs quite quickly. It all came together quite, you know, we wrote really well and it came together really quickly. And then we came upon some studio time down in Levin at Tsunami Studios. And it was never actually meant to be the first album out of that process, but it turned out to be such a productive time in the days that we were there.
Because we were staying on site.
We were staying on site, and there was a lot of atmosphere happening, and there was some really traumatic issues happening family-wise at the time.
Right.
Chris's mum, which he can elaborate on a bit more, was very ill at the time and actually passed away a couple of days after the recording. Mm. You know, you don't like to say that there's a good side to things, but what actually happened was that everyone gelled so well because there was so much frickin' emotion happening.
Yeah.
Like, there really was. It was like, I could feel it. Like, it was just like, holy cow, this is just, everything is just sounding so amazing that the recordings we took out of that, we just worked our butts off for the next 3 months and turned it into an album, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we were recording, went down to record just rhythm tracks.
Yeah.
And as Matt said, we just clicked and we thought, while we're here, let's just smash the whole lot.
Mm. Yeah.
Because we were playing so well at the time. Mm. And that whole, that emotional side of things was really kind of heavy at the time, and it was just the connection with the music and what was around us was pretty big.
It's kind of pulling that energy
in. Yeah, yeah. I remember driving back from it. It was like one of those days when you're coming past the mountains where it's beautifully sunny in the afternoon, snow on the mountains, and we were listening to it. And I was just like, wow, okay, this is...
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff here. Like, we captured the performances. Like, you can feel like in Something Better, just note for note, everything happening in it, you can really feel it. I believe in that, yeah.
And the recording was done in Auckland, or which studio was that?
So for the album, we went down to Levin.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a studio down there called Tsunami Studios, and it was out of the old abandoned hospital. Dave Trail is the engineer and owner of that studio with his partner Adele. And, yeah, we went down there, and you could stay on site. They have accommodation, everything. You just set up and leave it. And they were fantastic to us and said, like, we'll go as long as you need, have an extra day. The vibe was great. And just being able to kind of decompress at the end and not have to go really anywhere, we could just stay there. It worked super well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have been a bit eerie there as well.
Oh, yeah. The accommodation. Hey? Yeah. Remember, we got back after the first night, and it's the old nurse's dwellings at this hospital, and it was freezing cold, middle of winter. This long corridor. It was pitch black, and we were freaking out because we heard this noise. There was that a shape? What the heck was that?
Well, there's lots of old, like, broken kind of bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
it sounds like a
really,
horror.
It was really eerie, but it was so much fun. Yeah,
it was good.
It's a great album, and you know I'm biased, so I'll probably keep talking about that as we go through the evening. Now, why don't I have a little bit, we'll talk a little bit, but I want you guys to set up because we're going to have our first, we're going to play some live tracks tonight, some off their upcoming album, which is due in the new year at some stage, but we're going to kick off with the first live track. It's called Sunken, so shall we give that a go?
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Just grab my guitar.
Okay. So, Clint, while Matt's grabbing his very flash guitar, I might say. Very cool.
Yes.
Sunken, a little bit about the track before we crack on with it. What brought it on?
It's just about someone who's trying to protect themselves and not get into a relationship too deeply. So maybe just dipping their toe in, really. It's just kind of about that. And sometimes how you sink because you're not giving your all.
Why don't we hear it now? Sure, give it a go.
All right, here we go.
This is Sunken off their new album.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Where were you when I needed comfort and love? Love is a way to show what I mean to you. Protect you, protect my feelings from the distance now between left with a feeling, a hollow feeling. Nothing can replace your love. Here is my heart. Protect you, protect my feelings from the distance now between. Here is my heart, sunken into the ground. Can we start again?
Very good. Well done. It sounded pretty good. What would it sound like, Ruben? Thumbs up there a little bit? Good.
Thanks, Ruben.
Thank goodness. Thanks, big shout out to Ruben to make my job a lot easier and make this night a special one. And it is. And that sounded really nice. Talk me through the songwriting process. Who's the songwriter? Who's the music writer? Is it Elton John and
Bernie?
Bernie.
With less cool clothes.
It's quite collaborative. So there's Chris will come in with some riffs. We'll bring them into the practice live mould, and everyone will try and play along to those and bring some ideas to that. Clint will come in with some vocals over the top that he's come in with some ideas for, and it all kind of comes together that way. And pretty well, usually. Like, it's we're a good writing team in that way. Like, we bounce off each other really well.
Right.
And so songs develop quite quickly from that kind of approach.
So it's more just jamming and gigs and kind of playing it around and just seeing how it comes out at the end.
From a lyricist's point of view, I need to, I guess, feel whatever they've come up with. So a lot of it is... I'll wait till I can, you know, I'll say that is brilliant. Where can we take this? And then I'll get some sort of emotion.
Right.
And then I know generally that it's going to be easier to kind of come up with lyrics and a vibe.
Yeah.
What was the easiest song that you've ever come up with? Like, just went bang, everything kind of snapped together.
Hold Fire.
Hold Fire? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I remember when I'd moved to Hamilton and I'd seen... Table Fox is a three-piece, and I thought, oh, man, they are so awesome. I went to their EP release, and it was...
He only saw one gig that year.
It was brilliant. And that got me back inspired into writing tunes again.
Great.
Because I hadn't been writing for a wee while. And then Clint came to visit down in Hamilton. I said, oh, I've got this riff. What do you reckon? And we kind of like... jamming it out in my kitchen, and then this is after a wee while of sort of jamming with Matt and Clint and a couple of the other guys, and then we brought it up, and it was really quick, it was super quick.
Yeah, like everyone just kind of first time we knocked it out, I remember saying, that's our single, we've got to do that.
And the lyric Cold Fire came out straight away. That was kind of why
that jam was two words, I'm like, That's the name of it.
Yeah. I absolutely remember the practice, the lighting, everything when that song happened, just because it was like, bam, it was,
pretty magical.
Yeah.
So, Clint, was it your idea to have a snare drum? Well, no, it's a bit of a bass drum at the front. Because I remember the first time I saw you guys, I thought, what is this about? The lead singer pulls out a bass drum and but I didn't know you were a drummer then, clearly.
Well, I am a recovering drummer, so it's probably why I bring out the floor tom.
You just can't let it go.
I just can't let it go. And,
It's a bit of a signature, isn't it?
I think it is.
It's quite cool.
Exactly. So,
Is it cool?
When they let me.
It's cool. Two or three tracks, I think that's about as loud as that. Whole Fire and Something Better or something like that, I think it's around that.
If it was my way, we'd be an African rock indie punk band. So.
Tablas all around.
Drums.
Yeah. Now, that would be an interesting sound. Why don't we kick into another live song, eh? I think it'd be a waste not to while we've got this time. So the next track we're looking at is Nothing Ever Changes.
Yeah.
And that's off the same album as well.
Obviously. Same album, yes.
Very good. How did that come about, that one?
That was, again, Chris bringing a riff to the... to band practice, and then me just throwing around some ideas, and the song's really about how you can go away from maybe a small town and come back and nothing's changed. So some of us are from small.
I'm from Ashburton.
Ashburton.
Do you know Ashburton?
I do.
A little south of Christchurch.
Down there. I've driven through there many times.
A lot of people drive through.
Yeah.
I lived in Dannyvook for 5 years. Shout out to Dannyvook.
Very cool. Okay, well, shall we hear the song now? Nothing Ever Changes.
The desert, the stars align. Backyard playing till it's dark outside. He finds a loophole to stay alive, fight on. Johnny boy has an appetite to put the town on the map tonight. The town crier tells his plight cry on. Nothing ever changes in our neighborhood. When the stars they fade, we are here for good. Nothing ever changes in our neighborhood. Nothing seems to change. Another party rules the land. Another reason to make a stand. Johnny stands up and raises his hands. Move on. A world away, another town. Takes the punch, stands your ground. Take a moment to feel alive, go on. Nothing ever changes in our neighborhood. When the stars they fade, we are here for good. Nothing ever changes in our neighborhood. Nothing seems to change. Seems to change. Oh, whoa, whoa,
whoa. Brilliant. Sounded good, guys. Very cool.
Thank you.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the actual shows you've done? As I said to Matt, I felt like I was a bit of a stalker last year with you guys. It might have been even the early... with Big Country was the first gig I think I saw.
Yeah, at the studio at Big Country, yeah.
Mm. It was a packed-out venue, and the studio is not a bad place to have a crack at there.
Yeah.
How did you find that, playing with Big Country?
Shit, we loved that gig, yeah. It was really good. I remember coming off stage and it was just a really good vibe, but like just the crowd really got into it for us for that. It was Christchurch was great, but it was a step up from Christchurch. It was like, you know, we'd done the show down there with them. That was really cool, good fun, but that was just like, yeah, we came off just loving that. So.
And the studio's, it's quite well designed. One, you've got a bar all the way down the side of it, which is handy. But also the floor goes down as well. And acoustically, it's not a bad wee venue at all.
Yeah, the sound was great. I
remember walking off going, that sounded brilliant from where I was standing. Yeah. Like, as far as, you know, just that vibe coming back off the walls and the crowd and,
Behind the stage, it's the worst design you've ever seen. With the stairs and everything going up all the... It's like Spinal Tap. You're like trying to find the stage going up all these different stairs.
Is that right?
It's absolutely shocking.
Well, at least it's got a back entrance, unlike Delatos or something like that, where you'd basically walk in front of the crowd to get up there.
Yeah.
And then the second gig was down in Wellington, I saw you with a Aussie band called City Calm Down, which I really enjoyed them, but I was really rapt to see you guys there play as well. What was that like?
Personally, that was amazing because I'd been chasing them for ages because I love them, and I contacted the singer and I was just, you know, we got to do this. And when we finally got the show, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So we did Whammy Bar first, and then we raced down that night to get to Wellington the next day.
Did you drive?
We drove down,
yeah.
And that was that was an onslaught getting down there, but it was great. And then we got to Wellington and did that show.
He was a lovely guy too, and he'd just stopped working full time, I think, to pursue music. So it was kind of that. This tour, I think, was the first time he was kind of doing it.
And I love the fact that I got his band so much. And respected that, and there wasn't any of the music business rubbish around it. He just got that and said, right, yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
I caught up with them afterwards as well. I mean, they're pretty friendly guys. We had a good chat. But I think they were at university then as well. And so I think at the time I went with a mate of mine, Paul Ritchie, and Peter O'Connor. We bought the old City Come Down t-shirts, looking very old. Well, I thought we looked quite cool, but we did have a few beers that night. So. And then the last gig that I saw you guys at, of course, was with one of my favourite bands of all time, and that was James. And
my favourite too.
Is it your
They were phenomenal.
Your top favourite?
Top band and top gig. Yeah, it was a surreal experience. I think we were... It didn't feel like us that we'd actually were worthy enough to get the gig at the time, but we worked hard for it, and it was such a special night. I think.
Yeah, I mean, we chased that show in 2016 when they came as well. I desperately wanted that one because they're one of my all time favourites.
Yeah,
missed out, and to get it, and 2018 was just brilliant. It was like. Absolute cream.
Seriously, it was a packed house. And I was saying, for the friends I was with at the time, when I saw you come out there, and you just felt like you're in your happy place, right? I mean, just overwhelmed. Not overwhelmed, because you guys rocked that night as well. But it did have that wonderful vibe. And James, as a band, they seem to be a pretty friendly crew. Did you catch up with them at all during course of the concert?
Yeah, them and their management were really good. Like we talked, at the shows, at the airport. They were really, really responsive to how we played. Said they were one of the best supports they'd seen along the way, that sort of thing. Which was amazing to hear that from them. So it was just fantastic. Really lovely guys too. Yeah.
And then because it's four times, really. Well, this year. And you played at the Anthology Lounge, and I reviewed for Radio 13 that night, and I gave the title of it was like a bit of coming home. It was a time where it was for you not supporting, but you actually were the main band. Mm. And how was that night? Did you get a good buzz from that one? I mean, it's not a bad wee venue at all, is it?
Yeah, it was fantastic, actually.
As Ruben would say, it needs a little bit more lighting to get some better photos, don't we, mate? We really want to do that. I thought it rocked again. How did it feel for you guys?
Yeah, I think being our own show was really special for us after a year of basically not being our own show. So to do that and have our own songs on display and the people are there to see you, not the other band.
Yes.
That's a special moment. And to have it full, full kind of show is... you guys all loved it as well,
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was a great crowd. They were really sort of really in your face with that venue, and it was just the connection between them. I just remember looking out going, this is awesome, we're loving it, having a blast.
You always worry when it's your own gig because there's, it could be raining, things could happen and people don't necessarily turn up, but thankfully that night it was a packed house, and it just made it even that more special, didn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And I kind of want to talk about that. You guys work full-time, and this is a full-time, part-time band kind of scenario. I mean, everything that you do, you have to do yourself, your promotion and I guess your network. But you must have a lot of support from friends and family, loved ones. I mean, talk us through that. It must be tough to get that balance right.
Yeah, I mean... More often than not, I'm out in the studio mixing new songs my wife Rosie is just incredible to let all that happen. When we've been recording the albums, it can be like every single night of the week up till 3 a.m. out in the studio.
Really?
And I'm insanely, I'm always doing something. with the band, be it promotion, recording. I'm just, you know, I occasionally it gets too much, and I do get the hard word, but, you know, overall it's amazing the support we get, eh?
And Matt puts so much effort, and he kind of manages us, essentially, and we've got a lot to thank for him for all the support gigs we've got and all the hard work and the songs and our family. They've all been supportive.
Our
wives, kids.
Our wives, you know, Ari and I live in Hamilton.
Yeah, so we drove up tonight.
Yeah, we drove up, you know, once, twice, whatever we need to do. And our wives hold the fort back at home. You know, we've got kids, you know, so, you know, on those days they're doing the kid thing. Yep. And without our families, we wouldn't have been doing as well as we have been. You know, they are the unofficial sixth member, if you can combine them all together into one person. You know what I mean? So
that'd be scary.
It would be.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
So
there's probably a time or place for that.
We owe a lot to our families, our long suffering families. Mm.
But I guess for me, it's a lesson for my children as well. That hey, we have to be performs and stuff like that. So that's why my kids, that's encourage them to go. Yeah, beyond what they're expecting in life, really.
Yeah, it's being able to compromise and
exactly,
cope and sacrifice. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, for you guys, it has to be a passion, or else you wouldn't be doing it. And to do it in this environment, particularly now where music is in New Zealand, it's hard to get, you know, not just notice, but to get people to get out these days and come out to live gigs. Yeah. So
I think we're the New Zealand's most stubborn band. We don't go away, so, you know, we're like a bad rash.
Well, you get an ointment for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Rock and roll's our ointment.
And on that note, perhaps we should look at doing another live track, shall we?
Sure.
Right or Wrong, I think, is what we're... Are we up for that?
We're up for that.
Give that a crack, and that's off the first album as well. Right or Wrong?
It is indeed, yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, Matt's got to take his headphones off.
He's just putting on his feathery jacket.
All good?
Yeah.
One, two, three...
There's a heavy weight that sits upon your shoulders, and the dinner conversation has gone cold. If my conscience was a woman, then I don't know her, and the pieces of your heart don't fit in. Right or wrong, we're out of love. Right or wrong, we carry on. Like soldiers made to fight, divide and conquer, we surrender our foolish hearts to the game. Like an albatross that floats across the water, we are searching for a reason to jump in. We're out of love. Right or wrong, we carry on, on, on. Right or wrong, we're out of love, love, love. Right or wrong, we carry on. of love, right or wrong.
Excellent. That was Right or Wrong. Tabitha Fox. Very cool. Nice little finger work there, Matt, on the Gretsch. Hey?
Very delicate.
Very delicate.
Very delicate. Yeah.
He's got very delicate fingers.
Yes, he has. I've seen I've seen his fret work a few times, and I'm not quite see how that goes. Yeah. But no, it sounded good to me. Thinking about influences, I guess every band's got their kind of sound that they're looking for, what kind of brought it about. More importantly, I was quite interested in each of you giving us a bit of an insight on bands that, when you were growing up, because I always think that's a bit of fun, and get a cross-section of different artists and inclinations. So,
awesome. Matt, yeah, I guess I'm an interesting flavour. I started in a real metal area when I was young. Started in a band called Raw Meat for the Balcony, supporting Pantera and Sepultura and those
Crikey.
Sorts of bands.
Yeah.
So a bit different, and I guess I haven't articulated this before, but I think when I was about 21, I had a brain tumour, and I kind of got much more emotive about my music after that point. And so I started going from, you know, listening to a lot of Iron Maiden and that sort of thing, still loving that, but getting into a lot of more kind of Neil Young, Dinosaur Jr., you know, just kind of a bit more emotive sort of bands, and that right. became where my passion was after that. So what I add to Table Fox, I think, is that sort of, I guess, that aggressive side blended with that real emotive side, and that's kind of the zone I come from, yeah.
Well, it comes through really well. Crikey. Brain tumour at 21, that must have been terrifying.
It just kind of changed everything, kind of thing for me. So,
thanks for getting a brain tumour, mate.
That's
all right, mate. I did it for you.
Yeah, thanks for that.
I totally did it for you.
Unless you'd be with some heavy metal Tool band or something like that up there.
Yeah, it's funny. You don't know where, you wonder where it would have gone. But, you know, I'm glad it went the direction it did because, you know, I'm obviously enjoying my music in a very special way at the moment. So. Yeah.
May that continue. Mm. Ari, what about you, mate? We haven't heard much from you. Give us a breakdown on your influences.
Okay. My drumming, I started with jazz, so that's my drumming. The score is jazz, so you probably see it's a lot of all this offbeat stuff as well.
Yes.
Clint sometimes don't like that, so it's quite hard to have a singer that can play drums. They're like, oh, that's pressure, yeah. But it's actually good.
You just keep telling them you're the drummer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's, with the ones I've actually influenced quite a lot with Jimmy Chamberlain's. That's why I quite like right. Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes, nice.
And of course, with my cymbals trick. I learn a lot from Keith Moon, like looking at the way he's doing the cymbals and all this rocking on the stage. That's actually that.
Yeah.
And with compositionals, drumming style, I think Danny Carey from Tool. It's quite inspiring the way he remembers all these notes and everything like that, how that's yeah, so I think if they have a babies that would be me. But
well, good to know.
Just a little bit.
The good thing to know is that Tool's new album just kicked off Katy
that's
Perry.
Correct, yeah.
Isn't that just the best?
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Goodbye, Katy.
Actually
my daughter listened to it on the way back from Rotorua the other day. She's like, what's this? I'm like,
Chris, you should know that.
Actually, put it on my headphones and listen to it. I was like, oh, this is satisfying.
I remember them at the Big Day Out, and I had never experienced Tool live until that night, and it was a cauldron of black oil, or it was just a wave of blackness, and it was heaving. It was just amazing.
Totally.
So, that great cross section. Mm. Chris, what about you, mate? You look like a bit of a Duran Duran fan.
When we were talking about influences and sort of how through childhood and things, so many people have influenced me. I love music. My wife and kids will tell you that a day does not go by where I'm not noodling on the guitar or listening to something and going, oh, and just getting a spark from something. But when you kind of approach this and sort of say, oh, what's some influences? Three moments stood out to me, and I'll go through them real quick. So I was eight or nine, and Duran Duran's documentary movie Sing Blue Silver came on TV.
Yep.
And I'd never been really passionate about music or obsessed about anything. I liked music at the time, but then when they started the show with Is There Something I Should Know, Andy Taylor and Simon Le Bon together singing, the curtain opens, the crowd goes mental. Andy Taylor was my new rock god. I said I wanted to be him. And that was nine.
That's pretty
impressive. And then I picked up a guitar and learned for about a week, and it hurt, so I put it down. Then the second time was 1990, and I remember it vividly. There was a 30-second commercial for the new Led Zeppelin Remasters album with the shadow going over the crop circles.
Yep.
There was half a second shot of Jimmy Page playing Whole Lotta Love. And from that day, I bought every album. I bought Song Remains the Same on VHS. Every day after school, I watched it for 3 years straight.
Wow.
Now you're showing your age.
Yeah, no, look, and that was it. And then sort of trying to find all these other influences, because it's so many. You know, I love Radiohead, I love sort of some of the older U2 stuff and so many people. But the other one that had a huge impact on me was David Bowie. And just he's a god to me, David Bowie. And when he passed away, it was 6 months after my mother, and I lost the plot. And I didn't really kind of process everything from 6 months ago. And when I heard, because I just watched the video for the new track that was out off Black Star, mm-hmm. and the next day, I was a mess. So David Bowie is my king.
I was really lucky. I saw him at the reality tour.
Me too.
In Wellington, yeah. Poured down with
poured
rain.
Down with
and
rain.
Was the happiest man in the world.
Yeah.
He was one artist. I was with my mate Mike at the time when it came through that he died.
Oh.
So I had a cry there. And yeah. Tom Petty is the other artist. I don't know if you like him.
Yeah, scattered by me. Yeah.
Yeah. They were two huge losses in the same year.
Yeah.
It was tremendous. I mean, not tremendous. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Not tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was very emotive, and what about you, Clint? What grabs your fancy?
From a completely different side, so I was into actually pop music. So I was I pictured myself as the Māori kid in Pātea Māori Club, the guy with the white glove, just kind of doing the I was into Michael Jackson, anything pop. I think because I didn't have an older brother or. I was the oldest in my family, so I didn't have anyone really influencing me. And then until I did my OE, as you know, Kiwis tend to do, and then bought an acoustic guitar while I was away, and then I started kind of fooling around on that. And then that's, I think, where I started my love of music more in depth, and sort of found James, found... Pearl Jam, found, you know, just really melodic songs, and then just found the Cars very late, but just thought, how simple are these songs, and they just sound amazing, and you can listen to them hundreds of times, and you know, they're not boring.
Well, I'm a bit older, so I grew up with the Cars, and I was lucky enough, a friend of mine, his sister, had the Cars and Supertramp at this kind of the same time, and that side one, well, actually the whole album, the Cars is embedded, burned into my brain. I wish I could remember lyrics, and I can't, but I can hum along to it, and it still sounds so fresh today.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about them as an influence from your sound as well, because you do have that lovely melody. You genuinely have. You've got that also good pub rock kind of bass and sound in there too. And the combination, I think it's always interesting to see where everyone's influences have come from, mm-hmm. and then you've built this boiling pot of What Table Foxes.
Oh, absolutely. I was just going to say, you know, I think you've kind of got my side with you know, kind of a heavier background, a real pop background with Clint, and a combination of the two with Chris, driving rhythms with Ari. Olivia's just, you know, she thumps the bass. She's amazing.
She is
amazing. So that combination, you mould it all together. You couldn't get it any other way. You know, I think there's stuff I add to what you guys do that just, you know, the end picture is just, you know, it's fantastic. So,
and it's a bit of time taking a little bit of a line in the sand, because you got your two albums out. You've done a lot of touring. You've just come out of the studio. You got your new album getting. Have you finished it yet, or is it still underway?
No, so we've narrowed down a lot of tracks.
Right.
We've been writing a lot. We've been really fortunate to have some time to write, finally.
Good.
And so we've probably got a good 10 good ones that we think are going to be on the album. We've got a couple more in the works that are going to be in there. How many songs will it be? I don't know, but we're going to work really hard over the next few months, and we're looking at early to mid next year.
Third album cracks it, doesn't it? Is that when we when we come here in a limo next time?
I'm kind of hoping when you do crack it, then I can use this podcast as a way that could crack open my friends to the ends. Seriously, it's going to be a win-win situation. So what? It's probably aptly the last live track we're probably going to have time for tonight is off the new album, and it's called Coming Home.
Coming Home. Yeah.
So quite apt. Shall we play that?
Why not?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Quick tune up.
Why do they always have to fiddle with the guitar like that? I mean, does it go out of tune that much?
It makes them look more important.
Does it? I always think that too, Clint. Yeah, yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Extraordinary gift and the confidence to fight. You eloquently shift my feelings tonight. I'm a sucker for a shirt with my favorite band on show. We can dance the night away, be enemies tomorrow. Whoa. Coming home. Whoa. I know this is short term, but it's an overnight success. We could let it burn and then clean up the mess. I'm a dreamer, don't you know, about you staying on. Before the penny drops, I know you will move on. Thank you.
coming home. Table Fox, you're our home. You're back. Well, you, a couple of us still need to go back to Hamilton. Olivia needs to come back from Bali. When she gets back, she'll be very relaxed. I hope she might even be able to listen to this when it turns into a podcast, because it's a great thing with Planet FM, and we're able to turn these shows, Friends to the Ends, into podcasts. So share it with your friends, buddies, grandmas, mums. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I really want to get you guys out there, and it's just great to have, you know, the opportunity to get some live music coming through again, and showcasing some of the songs that you've had in the past, but also a little bit more in the future. The and talking about just right to the present, Always, Always. Mm. The lead single, it just came out last week.
On the 6th. We've just released the video for on Friday,
and it's on YouTube because I've checked it out
it
already.
It is indeed. Yeah.
Tell us just a little bit about the song. It sounds like there's a little bit of a story behind this one, right?
Yes, there is, and I'm going to let the band tell the story because. I get
back on, Matt.
You're dying, Matt. I can just see you itching there.
So it's about a wonderful ex of Clint's, lovely lass, who
shall remain nameless.
She's nameless, please, absolutely, please. And it's one of those situations, nobody's fault, but she didn't realise it was over for a long time. And a year. We've established it's a year.
A little breakdown in communication.
There were total breakdown, and that's kind of a story about that process and feeling a little trapped by that, I think. Would you say, Clint?
Don't want to talk about it.
Away from it. You don't want to talk about it.
Everything's fine.
It was the immediate feeling I think Clint had when the riff first came into band practice, and it all came together really quickly. Had a great vibe, and the first thing Clint thought about was his ex that didn't realise it was over.
Didn't quite work.
It was I think it was a vibe of just running
away. Yeah,
That's enough said around that. And you brought in this kind of the riff into it. Was it the
Chris brought in a chord structure?
Yep.
For it, which a real cool chord structure. I put the, as I often do, a nice melody piece over the top, the kind of a lead note thing over the top, and we're all just kind of like. I think
on
just
the arrangement,
one practice, the arrangement was just great.
We're working out arrangements and things together.
It was another one of those ones like Hold Fire that came together really quickly.
Brilliant.
Like one practice, I think we had most of it there. Then Clint developed his lyrics
story
from there.
And, well, that's what music's about. It's real life, isn't it? A lot of cases. Why don't we, because we're getting very close to time, why don't we give that a bit of a run now just so that the audience can hear it if they haven't. This is the first new single from Table Fox, Always, Always. Okay, that's about it. Seriously, if you can't resist not getting up and playing the air guitar to that one, I'd be bloody disappointed. To be honest, I gave it a crack before I came here tonight just to get a little bit of vibe going. And look, I just want to take the time to thank you all for coming in here today. Clint, Matt, Chris, Ari, it's great that you spent this time here. I hope we can use this as a bit of a time and space that now...
It's all going to happen from here. I can feel it.
It's going to go off.
I can feel it.
So you're going to have some new gigs. I can't wait to see you guys live again. Is there anything else we want to shout out to anyone before we close off tonight?
Hello to Olivia.
Yeah, hey, Olivia and Bali.
Get back. We'll need a band practice.
Definitely. I hope she's recovering.
And my family in Hamilton.
Yes. Yeah. All the Hamilton family.
Everywhere.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Hey, look, thanks so much for tonight. It's been a blast. Good luck for next year's new album.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cheers.
Yep. Thank you.
220.
Oh, and for Ruben, love you. Love you so much.
Yeah. Cheers, Ruben.
Music After Midnight on 104.6 Planet FM.